Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Tonight, we've got a wonderful woman of God who's going to take the stage. We're so privileged to have her. Pastor Debbie Prescott is not just a great personal friend of Chrissy and I. She's like an Australian mum, spiritual mum to me. Like, you want to have an Asian son, I'm all yours. But she's a great friend of our church, but also a great voice to our church and a great voice to Chrissy and I as well. And I just know that tonight, Pastor Debbie's going to bring something true and profound and hard-hitting. And I just want to encourage you tonight, have an open heart. Would you stand to your feet as we honor Pastor Debbie as she comes right now? You might not want an Asian son, but you've got one. You know, the measure of your encounter is commensurate to the measure of your expectation. And so tonight I pray that you come with an open heart and God is going to absolutely turn your life around. Can you give Pastor Debbie another big hand?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Why don't you take your seats? I just want to just encourage you also. I said to the first two services this morning, please bring the unsaved to conference. Please. There is nothing like it. Because the unsaved want to know if there really is a God, right? That's what they want. They want to know, is there really a God? And I remember a time at Planet Shakers where we had something and someone bravely asked this young Muslim girl, and she actually came. And she came with the full garb on and whatever, and it must have been a hugely difficult thing for her, but she came. And during the service, I wasn't speaking or whatever, I was just one of the pastors in the building, but I was drawn to her, and God gave me this word of knowledge that she'd been terribly sexually abused. And I'm wrestling with this because I'm like, oh, you know, I don't want to be wrong and really mess this up big time. But I felt the Holy Spirit said, just deliver it in love, Debbie, but take the risk. Yeah. Take the risk. So I did. And I went up to her and I spoke to her. Well, she just started sobbing, broke down, and then started to shake. I have never seen anybody shake like that before. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, every part of her body was shaking. I'm just standing there watching this. Now, she could not deny after that the reality of Jesus Christ because she'd encountered him. And so you've got to position your unsaved friends and family because they want to know, is this God real? You see, the unsaved world out there, do you understand? They don't think that it is. Right? They think that we're just all brainwashed and there is no real God. And it's time for us to show them that he's alive. It's time for us to demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God. So if you love your unsafe friends and family, bring them. Bring them to conference. Amen? Even one session. And God will honor that. I believe it with all of my heart. Okay. Well, let's pray before we get into it. And I hope you still love me after the end of this. But I'm just committed to, I really believe I've got the word of the Lord tonight. And so let's go there, but let's pray first. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name. It is above every demon. It is above every principality. It's above every sickness. It's above every circumstance. It is the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I am asking tonight that you, Holy Spirit, would absolutely undo us. Lord, I bind every mind here to the mind of Christ, that we would hear you afresh. Lord, we open up our hearts, even the parts that we've closed off. We make a decision tonight to open our hearts to hear from you, Holy Spirit, that you would pierce our hearts. And Lord, that we would hear exactly what you want to say to us. And Lord, that we would also see a demonstration of your power, Jesus, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, I'm asking, Holy Spirit, for you to just completely take over this meeting, that I would only deliver that which you want me to say. and that you would anoint it. That it would divide between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. And it would discern the thoughts and the intentions of every heart. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, well, the title of my sermon is this: Are You the Real Jesus? Are you the real Jesus? Because something has actually bothered me for a long time, and it's this. That it says in Acts that the disciples, there was only 12 of them. You know, they replaced Judas, and there's 12 men. But it says of them that they turned their world upside down. They turned their world upside down. And unfortunately, and I have to say it as it is, we're not, right? We haven't turned the world upside down. They had such an encounter with the risen Christ that they were prepared to do anything, anything at all, at risk, and they risked their lives, and they were, most of them were martyred because of it, because they had met the real Jesus, which caused me to start to pray and ask the Lord, and I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me, and that's why this message, that we've actually got to make sure that the Jesus we're serving is the real Jesus. Because how many of you have been to Bali and bought one of the Rolex watches that they sell on the beach or the designer bag, the $20 designer bag? Hands up if you've bought the bag or the watch. Yes, be honest. My daughter came back with one of those Prada bags, the $20 Prada bag. The problem was the P fell off and I had a Rada bag. Not a Prada bag, but I'm the only person in the world that's got a Rada bag. No one else has got a Rada bag. And our world has become incredibly skilled at producing counterfeits. But they do not deliver, do they? My bag fell apart. I don't have it anymore. It's completely fallen apart. The Rolex watch that someone brought my husband also didn't work because they don't deliver. Neither does the fake Jesus. Doesn't deliver. And let me give you some examples. You know, my girls bought me, I've got two daughters and two daughter-in-laws, and they bought me a facial, and I'm not that sort of person that likes those things, but anyway, I did it. And I went to this lady's house, and she must have been Hindu because she had all these little gods all in a row. Anyway, we started off a conversation and I told her I was a Christian, and she said to me this. She said, oh, I'm a Christian too. I serve Jesus. And she produced this little cross. How many of you know that's not the Jesus of the Bible that she's serving? Right? That is not Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. And then there's a girl, and I've seen this more times than I would like to count, who was absolutely obsessed with this guy, obsessed, you know, lovely Christian girl, lovely Christian guy, obsessed with him. You know, just all the time, Lord, you know, that's the guy for me, I want to marry him, Lord, praying and praying and praying, and then ask the Lord, is he the one? And she hears, yes, yes, he's the one. And then what happens? He gets engaged to someone else. And she's devastated, completely devastated. Why? Because she's listening to another Jesus. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. It is not the Jesus of the Bible. And what about, you know, there's a Jesus who forgives me and will take me to heaven, but will not radically change my life. This Jesus might help me live with depression, but my Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, will heal you of depression. He will heal you of depression. He doesn't want you to just live with it. Right? He wants to heal you of it. And we are warned of deception in Scripture. And I want to have a look at 2 Corinthians 11, 3 to 4. It says, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by its cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you submit to it readily enough. What he's actually saying is that I'm afraid you might submit to this because there are false Jesuses being proclaimed out there, and it's not the Jesus of the Bible, and don't accept this. Now, what an incredibly clever and subtle scheme of the enemy. But it does explain a lot why we're not seeing the same power released that the first century church does it not? Because, you see, the enemy floods the world with counterfeits, just like he does the fake bags. Floods the world with counterfeit Jesuses. And people think they're serving Jesus, the real Jesus of the Bible, but they're not. They're not actually. And one of the most dangerous counterfeits of all is the Jesus that I create that I'm actually more comfortable with. And how I do that is I chisel off the parts of the Bible that I don't like. Right? I chisel them off. And in the end, I am left with the Jesus that thinks like me, that agrees with me and will never challenge me. Right? That's a false Jesus. That is not the Jesus of the Bible. And the Holy Spirit convicted me one day and said, Debbie, I want you to go through your Bible and have a look at all the verses you haven't underlined. That'll give you a good example of what you're rejecting, right? What you're not actually putting weight on. And I realized that, you know, I'm a mercy girl. So the scriptures where Jesus, for example, one of my favorite stories ever was where the woman, and those of you who, you know, are not familiar with the Word of God, there's this wonderful true story where this woman is brought and thrown at Jesus' feet and she's caught in the act of adultery. Mind you, the guy isn't there, but she's thrown at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus is in full of compassion and he deals with all these horrible people that want her stoned. And then he says to her, I don't condemn you. He says a few other things, but we'll talk about that later. But he just loves her and sets her free. And I love that story. But I never really liked the bits where he's talking to the Pharisees. I thought that was a bit harsh. So I didn't have any of them underlined because I don't like that bit, right? I just don't like the way. I did actually say to Jesus, it was way too harsh, I thought. Anyway, this is true. I was praying one day and, you know, I was praying about, you know, just what it means to really love someone, and the Holy Spirit brought that up. And I started to talk to him about that because I'm like, I know that you are love. But, you know, what was the deal with the way you spoke to the Pharisees? And he said these words to me. He said, Debbie, I love them enough to tell them what they needed, not what they wanted. Are you prepared to do the same? Are you prepared to actually say things that people may not like and may not like you? Do you love them enough to see them saved and healed and delivered to really tell them the truth or not? And do you know what? It revolutionized my life. I realized that I had to follow the real Jesus, not my constructed version of the Jesus that I just liked, right? Because the real Jesus has power. The other Jesus has none, whatsoever, because the real Jesus spoke the truth in love every time, even when it cost him. And that's the Jesus that he wants, that we're asked to follow. That's the Jesus that we've got to sign up with. We need to, I think, and I'm talking to me as well, come face to face with the uncomfortable scriptures that we just don't like. And instead of trying to pretend that Jesus didn't say them or explain them away and create another theology that Jesus really didn't mean what he said, we've got to actually sit underneath those scriptures for a while and let the weight of them come down on us. You know, one of those is the rich young ruler. And again, those of you who don't know the story, there is this young man who came to Jesus and he actually said that he'd fulfilled all the commandments and Jesus didn't correct him, which meant he actually had. And yet Jesus said, he said, you know, what else do I have to do, great teacher? And Jesus said this to him. He said, there's one thing you lack. Will you sell all your possessions and give them to the poor? And it said that he went away unhappy, sad, because he was very, very wealthy. And I don't know about you, but I'm being honest with you. When I've read that scripture, I thought, thank goodness Jesus didn't ask me to do that. But you know what happens? We actually created Jesus that would never ask us to do that. We create a Jesus that would never actually say that to us. But maybe he would. Maybe he actually would. You know, we've got to sit under it long enough and ask him the question and be prepared to do it. That's the truth. That's the real gospel. That's the gospel. It's the truth. And we've got to do that. And can I just give you a hint? What I've learned is this. If you can't give something away that you own, you probably need to. That's the truth. That's the truth of it. And maybe you're saying, well, look, that's too hard. You know, but at least serve the right Jesus and then say, God, help me to get there. At least then you're on the right track. But it's no use creating a Jesus and trying to serve a Jesus that would never ask you to give up everything you own, because that's not the real Jesus, because the real Jesus did in that circumstance. And that's not, he's not going to ask everybody, but maybe he might ask me, and I need to ask him and be prepared to sit under that scripture and see if he's going to say that or not, because that's the real Jesus. That's the real Jesus that we serve. You know, I realize that this is a very extreme word. And you might think, well, Debbie, this is way too extreme for me. Well, we serve an extreme God, right? And he wants to fill you with extreme power, because that's what this world needs. Not where we see some healed, but where we see hundreds of thousands healed, hundreds and thousands delivered. And it's going to cost us as his church. We've got to pay the price. And we've got to be prepared to follow the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. You know, the same Jesus that I talked about before, who rescued that woman caught in adultery, said to her these words, "Go and sin no more." The same Jesus who healed this man, he went by the pool. He was actually lying by the pool of Bethesda. And this man had been lame for 38 years, paralyzed, could not move for 38 years. Jesus instantly on the spot heals him. Instantly on the spot heals him. You think, yes, that's a Jesus I want to follow. That's the one I want to follow. But let me tell you what he actually said to him. John 5:14, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, unless a worse thing come upon you." How politically incorrect. I mean, really? That's really politically incorrect. Jesus is not saying, and I want you to hear what, don't try and fill in the gaps. He is not saying that everyone that's sick has sinned and that's why they're sick. That's not what he's saying. But he is saying that sin will open the door to the demonic in your life. You know, it can open the door to the demonic. That's what he's saying. And I think that's the Jesus that we've got to take and realize that's where, you know, I've got to believe him. I've got to walk in line with his words, because that's the truth. Because a Jesus comfortable with sin is not the Jesus of the Bible. A Jesus comfortable with sin is not the Jesus of the Bible. If you are truly saved and truly born again, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin and righteousness. You will no longer feel comfortable sinning. You will not want to sin. You will hate it when you do it. It's not like you're going to do everything perfectly, right? And you're going to have to learn to walk out of old patterns of behavior. But you will want to. Everything in you will hate that sin, and you will not want to sin, because your very nature has been changed, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So if you are comfortable with sin and you don't have that conviction, you need to give your life to the real Jesus tonight, because the Jesus that you're serving is a fake Jesus that will offer you nothing and cannot save you. Cannot save you, but the real Jesus will, can, and will deliver you from that need to want to sin. He will deliver you from that. You know, we've got to saturate ourselves with this word. And now, at the time that we're living in now, you have to know exactly what Jesus has said about himself, because there's a lot of fake Jesuses coming our way. What about the Jesus who cheers me on? You know, whatever I want to do, and I'm not talking about sin, but just whatever venture that I want to do, he's like, go for it, Debbie. Yes, Yes, he's there to serve me. That's a genie. That's not Jesus. All right? That's a genie. That is not Jesus. And I don't know how many people I have seen devastated and their faith shipwrecked because they've followed their dream. And they thought that God's job, Jesus' job, is to fulfill their dream. It's not. That is not what Scripture says. That is a false gospel. The truth is, Jesus said that he will enable you to fulfill the will of the Father. The will of the Father, what Jesus wants you to do, what the Father wants you to do, what you were born to do, what you were created to do. He will enable you to do that. He will equip you to do that. But he will not equip you to do some harebrained scheme that is your idea. So we've got to learn this and we've got to submit to truth. Submit ourselves to truth now and make sure that we are following the Jesus that is able to save us and deliver us and set us free. Amen? Amen. You know, there's also this other Jesus that's like, if I serve him, well, everything will go wonderfully well in my life. Well, I wish someone had have told Paul that, because his life, he was flogged twice in, you know, in inches of his life. You know, most of the, as I said, the disciples were crucified. Martyred. You know, it's not. My Bible tells me this. Many are the tribulations of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. That's what the Word says. That's what God's Word says. So if you have believed a false gospel, it's time today, tonight, to repent and get on board and start to serve the real Jesus, the Jesus that can come through with the goods. You know, idolatry is an incredibly dangerous, dangerous thing. And those of you who know your Bible know in the Old Testament, every time they served other gods, they got themselves into all sorts of trouble. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. This is the way that we end up serving other gods. They may be called Jesus, but they're not Jesus. You know, there's also other gods we serve. And, you know, I want to explain to you something that was that I heard actually a pastor called the name Jack Hayford teach on this, and it forever changed my life. Because I ministered to so many people who believe with everything in them that they'd heard God. And then circumstances unraveled where they clearly didn't. But they believed with all of their heart they did. And I could never understand this until I understood this scripture. Because when you have idolatry in your life, that idol, behind every idol is a demon. That's what the Bible says, right? 1 Corinthians 10:17. Behind every idol is a demon. And that demon has a voice. And that demon will speak to you. Now, I want you to have a look at Ezekiel 14:4. And it says this. Thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble in iniquity and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols. Now, what on earth does that mean? I will tell you what that means. It means behind every idol is a demon. And God is saying, if you want to have idols in your life, that is not my will for you. But if you want to do that, then what's going to happen is when you come and you're praying and you want an answer, but you've got something set in your heart, like the girl that believed and wanted and obsessed with this guy, right? The guy was the idol. So when she comes to pray, is he the one? The demon gives her the answer she wants, right? He gives her the answer she wants, not God's will, not God speaking. The demon tells her what she wants to hear, according to that scripture. And how many people get so confused and they blame God and they give up on the real Jesus when the real Jesus is, no, you are listening to an idol because you have idolatry in your life. Now, can I say to you, I had idolatry in my life as a pastor, and it was my children. It was my children, and I was a pastor. And until I realized that, and I said to the services this morning, you know, God showed me He's here. My children are here, so He couldn't protect them. Yeah. Right? They're totally exposed to the demonic. And every time I prayed, I would hear and make stupid decisions on the basis of what I was hearing, because I was hearing and listening to a demon. So we have got to get rid of idolatry. It is so dangerous. If you want to serve God, then you've got to pull those idols down. And as Chrissy and I were speaking before this service, you know, she said, and it's true, the scripture says that we have got mighty, mighty weapons that cast down every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We've got to pull it down. And, you know, for some of you, it might be your business, but whatever you are thinking about, dwelling about, and praying most about, right? If you are really serving God, most of your time in prayer will be in worship. That's the truth. That's the truth. But I know myself, you see, I couldn't pick up on the idolatry. I was praying for my children all the time. But it was like, Jesus, I just need you to fix them, right? I just need you to do this for them. And I remember God saying to me this word, do not speak to me again about them. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm the mother, get behind me, Satan. My job's to pray. And I just couldn't see it. And it's like, do not mention their name to me again. Worship me. Now, I'd love to say that it was so easy to do that, but I couldn't, because every 5 minutes I'd start to worship. I just need to remind you about the children. I just need to remind you that two of them are not serving God, you know? Constantly, and it took me weeks and weeks until I could worship the Lord. Then when I was in that place of absolutely lost in worship, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, right now break this unholy bond between one of my daughters and this guy she was with. And I did, and I prayed that prayer 1,000 times, but nothing happened. I prayed that prayer, and God is my witness, within the week or 2 weeks, she broke that relationship. You see, God wants to, He is Jesus. He wants to see our families, our children, our lives blessed. But if you have idolatry, you are tying His hands and you are listening to a demon. So it's time to get rid of all idolatry. How do you know what's real then? How on earth do we know? Well, I was watching a documentary, very interesting, on this guy that's a world authority on counterfeit currency. And the interviewer asked him that very question. Can you pick up so easily on the fake? He said, oh, that's easy. I have an intimate knowledge of the real, of the original. I have an intimate knowledge of the original. I know the original. And I think that is God's word for us today. The more you know Him, the more you are founded in His word, then you will recognize the counterfeit. You will not get caught up in the counterfeit. Now, Jesus actually told us who He was and what He was anointed to do. So I want to read from the remaining time we've got. I want to read from Luke 4, 16 to 21. Because this is the real Jesus. This is what the real Jesus does. He's the same today as He was then. This is what He does. And any Jesus that does not fulfill this scripture is not the Jesus of the Bible. So He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." This is what the real Jesus does. Then He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in that synagogue were fixed on Him. And He began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." You see, He is saying, He is announcing, "I am the Messiah. I am the Savior of the world. And this is what I am anointed to do. This is what I will do for you. And this is what I will continue to do." Because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what has he actually said? Now, this was prior to him going to the cross. So he's announcing what he is about to do. Right? We're on the other side of the cross. So he is announcing what is actually available right now for you if you serve Jesus and if you give your life over to him. He's actually telling you what you can have. And this is what he says. Okay, number one, your sin will be completely and totally washed away from you. You will be washed in the blood of Jesus, where there will not be a remnant or a stain left on any part of your body. Anything that has happened to you, the blood of Jesus will cleanse it off. Anything that you've done, the blood of Jesus removes it. You are completely and totally clean, cleansed and whole. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can do that. You know, those of you who know my background, I was horrendously sexually abused. I'm a first-generation Christian. And, you know, I had horrendous abuse done to me as a child. Not by my family, but by those that they left me with, you know, when my father was very ill. And I could not get the feeling of being clean even after I was saved until I realized what the blood of Jesus had actually done for me. And when I meditated on that and when I realized the blood of Jesus had removed every part of that encounter and experience off my life. And that's the Jesus of the Bible. That's the real Jesus. Because he says, I am going to take your place. Everything that you've done, everything you will do, everything you have done, everything. I am going to pay the full price for that by going to the cross. I'm going to take the full punishment. I'm going to let them whip me, beat me, maim me, pull out my beard, strip me to the point where my body will be unrecognizable as a man. I will die and rise again. And that's the full payment for everything you've ever done. That's what my Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, will do for you. You will be a brand new creation. The past is over, gone, forgiven, finished. It's done. Right? The person that did all that stuff that you're not proud of, that person's dead. Finished. Their life ends. Gone. You are a brand new creation. You are adopted into my family. Jesus says, now you're adopted into my family. The Heavenly Father, my Father, is your Father. Not a father that abuses you, yells at you, and is less than perfect. No. A Heavenly Father who adores you, who loves you. You're in the family of God because Jesus wants an intimate, personal, real connection, heart to heart with you, where you know his heart and he completely understands you. You can talk to him at any time. When you come to the Father, he welcomes you into the very throne room of heaven. He wants to see you, and he doesn't see you as you. He sees you as if you were Jesus. That's how he's going to treat you, as if you were Jesus, as if you've never sinned, because Jesus has given you. You wear his righteousness, and that is completely given to you. You know, you are full of the Holy Spirit. He places the Holy Spirit inside of you. You don't have to do life anymore on your own. If you want this, it's available only to those who are poor in spirit. What does that mean? That word in the scripture that where it says poor in spirit, it's a Greek word, and it meant the bottom of the barrel. It meant those that were so poor, so broken, so hopeless, so maimed, so damaged, that unless someone rescued them, they had no hope of survival. And that's what Jesus is saying. You see, you've got to realize that you cannot save you. You cannot save yourself. You desperately need a Savior. And without him, you are lost for all eternity. There is no other way. Without that Savior, Jesus Christ, you are lost for all eternity. But he's offering it to you free. It's a free gift. The only thing is it's going to call, you need to exchange your life for his. So he's saying, give me all of you. Give me the lot and I'll give you all of me. And you can have all of those benefits. That is the best deal that you will ever get in any time, in all of eternity. You will never get a better deal than that. He also said, I came to bind up the brokenhearted. The word brokenhearted in that passage of scripture is the word that the Greeks use to when something is shattered into thousands and thousands of pieces, where it's impossible to put it back together again. And I know some of you have been through experiences like that, where your heart has been so broken and so shattered that it's impossible for you to get it put back together again. But my Jesus is promising you, that's what I do. I heal the brokenhearted. I heal the brokenhearted, and you don't have to limp through life. I know. You see, I was totally broken. You look at me now, but you should have seen me. When I was, a teenager, I could not even speak. I was terrified of men. I couldn't have them anywhere near me. I was so fearful because of what had happened to me. But you see, Jesus completely healed me. I don't have to limp through life anymore. You can be completely set free. Your heart completely and totally whole. Totally whole in Jesus' name. And it tells me in Psalm 37:15. That the very sword that attacked you, and for me it was sexual abuse, the very sword that the demon used to attack me, right? Jesus doesn't only pull it out and heal me. He says, okay, Debbie, here's the sword. Here's the sword. The very sword that attacked you, I'm now putting in your hand. Now go and release others. Go and release others. I have seen hundreds of people set free on the spot of sexual abuse. Why? Because Jesus didn't just heal my heart. He gave me the sword in my hand. And that's what he wants to do with you. Right? He says that he is proclaiming liberty to the captives. What does that mean? Freedom from whatever is holding you in bondage. You know, I just heard a report that every 12 minutes... our police respond to either suicide attempt or some mental health issue every 12 minutes. How is our world faring without Jesus? Not good. My Jesus has said, I proclaim liberty to the captives from depression, from fear, from anxiety, from addiction, from whatever is holding you in bondage. There is freedom. There is freedom, and there's freedom tonight if you want it. There's freedom. It's free. You do not have to live with this and just try and cope. Right? You can be set free. Recovery of sight to the blind. What is that? Physical healing. Physical healing. Jesus Christ heals. Jesus Christ said there will be recovery of sight to the blind. And don't create a false Jesus on the basis of your own experience. You know, I've prayed for thousands of people and I've seen thousands healed. I've also seen thousands that aren't healed. But I refuse to create and serve a fake Jesus that doesn't heal. No, he's done his bit. He paid. It says in 1 Peter 2:24 and also in Isaiah, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we having died in sin might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You were healed. Every person that came to Jesus that was sick was healed. Every person. It says in Psalm 103:3, he forgives all my sin and heals all my diseases. If you can believe that he forgives your sin, you can't cut that verse in half and say, I believe that bit, but don't believe the other. You've got to believe and stand and say, no, my Jesus heals. A Jesus who does not heal is not the Jesus of the Bible. I'm sorry, it's not. And you are anointed with the Holy Spirit. You know, Romans 8:11 says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And as a believer, our life, what we're supposed to do is demonstrate that Jesus is alive. Right? And some of you that are backslidden, you know why you're backslidden? Because you are following the most boring Jesus on the face of the earth. He doesn't do anything. Why don't you make a decision to follow the real Jesus and then start to step out and do what he does and watch him back you up? Watch him back you up. Because every person that I've ever met that's backslidden is because they're following a boring fake Jesus that doesn't do anything. And I'd be backslidden too. You know, our Jesus is not a way. It says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. And he backed it up. How? By raising from the dead. There is no Jesus grave anywhere. Right? And don't think that they tried, you know, they did everything they could to find a body. No body, never will be, never can be, because my Jesus is alive. My Jesus demonstrated full authority, not only that he was the Savior of the world, but also he demonstrated absolute authority over every demon that could ever hold you in bondage. He has authority over, and he's giving you that authority too if you follow him. But you cannot have a Savior unless you're prepared to make him Lord. You have to make him Lord. What does that mean? He's boss, I'm not. He's boss, I'm not. I do what he wants me to do. Whether I like it or not, I do that. Because I'm trusting him. And that's it. You cannot have salvation unless you have lordship. And I'm asking all of us tonight, and this has been a very confronting message, I understand that. Because also, you know, in my Bible, I haven't underlined any of the verses that talk about hell. I don't like those verses. I honestly don't like those verses. But do you know Jesus preached more about hell than any other person in the Bible? He preached more about hell than he did heaven. And he describes it in Luke 16 as a place of eternal torment that is nothing but hopelessness and despair and anguish. And he doesn't want anyone to go there. That's why he died an agonizing death, so that you don't have to. But you've got to make the choice, right? Because it's real. And it is an absolute lie that when you die, there is nothing. That is a lie from hell to keep you in bondage. You know, so I'm asking everyone tonight, maybe you have never given your life over to Jesus Christ. Or you have, but you realize tonight, you know, Debbie, I've believed some of those lies and I've never completely given my life over to the real Jesus. Or you've heard this message and you've decided, right, I'm going to draw a line in the sand tonight and I'm stepping over and I'm recommitting my life because that's it. I'm giving myself 100% to Jesus. And I am asking you to be brave enough, not no heads bowed, eyes closed. No, if you can't stand up for Jesus here, you're not going to be able to do it out there. So if that's you, I want you to put your hand up. If you have never given your life over to Jesus, or you have, but you know that you've only done it maybe 90%, 80%, I don't know. But whoever that is, I want you to put your hand up now. I know. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Thank you. Who else is prepared to say thank you? Who else? Yes, thank you. Who else? Yes, thank you. Who else? Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Who else? It's time to stand up. It's time to say, I'm putting my life on the line. I want the real Jesus. I don't want the fake. I'm done with the fake. The fake can't heal me. The fake can't set me free. And the fake won't take me to heaven. All right. If that's you, I want you to put your money where your mouth is and come down the front. Right now. Come on. That's it. All of you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else that wants to just draw a line today and say, that's it. That's it. I'm finished with the fake. I'm finished with the fake. It ends today. Come on. All of you. All of you. Thank you, Lord. And I know there's some more. Come on. Make a decision tonight. That's it. I'm drawing a line in the sand tonight. Who wants to come and join with these amazing, amazing people? Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You know, my Bible says that all of heaven rejoices. All of heaven rejoices. Because the frightening thing is there's going to be people on the day of judgment that will say, but I did this for you and I did this for you. And he's going to say to them, what? Depart from me. I didn't know you. I didn't know you. But this is, your life is about to change forever. You have everything that I have spelled out with, because everything I've said can be backed up in the Word of God. Everything. So we're going to stand with you because you are now part of our family. And we love you dearly, and we are so proud of you. This takes guts, the guts that you're going to need out there. But God is going to back you up. So we are going to pray with you, because my Bible says in Romans 10, 9 to 10, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, right, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. So come on, can we all pray with these wonderful people? Yeah? Okay. So say, Father God, I confess that I've done life my way. But tonight I make a decision that I want you to be Lord of my life. I turn from my way and I hand my life over to you, Jesus. I believe that you died and rose again. And I thank you, Father, that you will send your Holy Spirit now to come and live within me. To be, and you will be my Lord, my Savior, and my very best friend. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will empower me to live the life that you have dreamt for me, planned for me, destined for me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I just want to pray for all of them. Father, I thank you for these amazing men and women of God now who are children of God that are empowered by your Spirit. Lord, I thank you that their life will never be the same, that everything they've done is now cancelled out. Everything they've done is cancelled out. It's finished. It's dead. It's over. And Lord, that they are new creations, empowered by your Spirit to live the life that you have destined for them. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.